All right, welcome to Bethel Baptist Church, and this is the 1st of April, and no, this isn't an April Fool. This will be a full service. We're going to sing to you, we're going to lift up a few prayers, we've got a few prayer requests as well. I'm going to read to you, and of course we have our sermon as well. So, you're very welcome to join us. We're hoping and pray this will be a help to you, and amen. So, we're going to begin with a word of prayer. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we still have the freedom to worship and praise you. We might not be able to do it together in body, but we certainly do so in spirit. We do pray, Father, that you would take and use this time that we've set aside to speak to us and to help us, to comfort us, and to direct and guide us, not just today, but over the next few days and weeks and months and even years, Lord, that you would secret away those wee pearls, those wee nuggets of gold. Thank you, Lord, for the good sense that many show, and pray you, Lord, for those that, Lord, are just not exhibiting much by way of good sense. I pray you, please, that you would watch over and keep them, that you would, Lord, help them this day. And Father, that you would be with us. Give us wisdom, but not just us, but our brethren also, Lord, boys and girls everywhere, men and women, Father, to take this time of quietness and peace and to seek your face. Just thank you, Lord, for your long suffering to us. Word, we thank you, Lord, for this little taste of what it's like to be without, and pray you, Lord, that you would use this to speak to souls directly, to convict of sin and judgment to come, and to meet at the foot of the cross. Just thank you for my wife. Pray that you would bless her and her long suffering on me. Thank you for bringing Brother Steve back home from hospital, and they were able to do a few wee bits and pieces to help him out. Pray for Pat as she tends to him again. Lord, for Ling, Dr. Shang and Frank, for John and Will, for Christine, for William and Rachel, Lily Ann, for Mary Ann too, Lord, for Reggie, and Lord, for wee Rita, and for Elaine and Hilary, Lord, for Esther, for Christy, for Pat and Steve, of course, for Norma, for Carol, and for John, and for Stephen, Lord, for those that have slipped and slid, and for our neighbours on Maboy Road, I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon Carol and Steve and Anne Marie, for Henry and Jane, and Lord, most of all, that your will would be done. Please use this, Lord, to make us bolder and wiser. Lord, to draw us to the foot of the cross, to make us mindful, Lord, that there is a life, just like people are thinking their lives are stopped now. There is a life after this quarantine. There is most certainly a life after this life is over too. Love you and thank you. We pray, Lord, for the leaders of our countries, for here and in America and across the world. You would give them wisdom and the good sense to listen to it. That you would, Lord, that you would stop those that have nothing but mischief in their minds. And, Lord, that you would teach us everywhere lessons. Lessons about it's not all about us. Lord, we ask this in our many private prayer requests and petitions. And thank you, Lord, for the gifts that have been coming in as well. Bless whoever it is, Lord. And Father, we just love you and thank you, and we pray it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. All right. We are going to take the first of our hymns. This one is number 226 in the hymn book. It's called I Found a Friend, 226. We're going to stand, I think, and sing. You can sit wherever you are or do whatever you want, or you can even pause the player right now and go and find the words. But this is what we're going to sing. I pray it's a help to you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Right. You can put your hymn book away for a little bit and take out your Bible this morning or this evening or just whenever it is that you are taking time to listen to this. And I would like to read to you from First Thessalonians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 is an excellent portion of God's word, full of promises for the soul that needs them, and we all do, especially in these days. But we're reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This portion of God's word is famous because it contains the second reference to the rapture, the Lord catching us away before judgment comes upon the earth. And in case you're wondering, I don't have any virus. It's a bit cool in the church, and my nose always runs in the cold. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Don't forget, you can pause this if it's taking you a bit of time to get there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honour, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we have commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. That is the blessed hope for the Christian, is that someday we will go to heaven. I am sure the blessed hope for many a Christian has been that they would never have to die in this world, but that they would live long enough to be called up into the air to meet with the Lord. For there is coming a day whenever I do believe that there will not one more person will want to get saved. Hearts will be so hardened, and I believe that will be the day that the Lord knows that it will take a great effort to break the hearts of many, and I believe that's the day when the Lord will come back. And in the twinkling of an eye, I think it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the twinkling of an eye we'll be caught up with the Lord in the air and we'll be with him forever. And then it'll be an awful time for the world. Many millions of souls will be gone. Millions of hearts will be broken. 144,000, Paul the Apostles, will go out into the world to lead them in the and the commandments and the gospel and the promises of God. And there will be 7 years of tribulation and great tribulation, at the end of which we'll be back to rule and reign with the Lord for 1,000 years. So the end of the world is at least 1,007 and a bit years away. So you don't have to be worrying about any of these things that are going on right now bringing the world to a close. All right. Normally we take this little bit of time and we read our announcements as well, which I will do if I can just find them. First of all, everything's happening with the Lewis family at the moment. Pat's daughter Lorna had a little baby boy, and I hope I get this right, Henry Lowry Ian Alford. So please do pray for Lorna and little Henry and Philip and Jessica and Thomas and Holly and Emily. There is a new member to the family. Just over 6 pounds in weight whenever he was born. I saw a wee picture of him, sadly. That's all we can do. And he looked so little, I think it was in Thomas's hands. And I remember a time whenever Thomas was quite little himself. But there you go. And other good news, Brother Steve made it home from hospital. They were able to, I don't know all the ins and outs of exactly what they did to him, but they tweaked his heart a little bit and they gave him some new medication. So we'll just keep praying and hoping that that is what it takes to get him going again. So please do pray for Pat and Lewis and their family at this time. Please do remember everybody else. We miss everybody, and it's a phone call just isn't quite the same. But we do miss everybody, and do pray for you and for yours. And we're blessed to see prayers answered in some cases. And for the rest, we just keep going. Pray for your family and friends that don't yet know Jesus. Pray for our government. Pray for other governments in the world, specifically America at this time, as they struggle with the same thing. Pray for China as well. There is a lot of shenanigans going on right the way around the world, and people even in this country, in America, trying to make merchandise out of the tragedy that is hitting many thousands of families. So please do pray for them. Pray for people to seriously consider their eternities before it's far too late, and pray for families that have lost loved ones, that the Lord could take and use this time to bring them to the cross. Private prayer requests, we're just assuming you all have them and we're praying for them. Please do pray for Monica and me. I took a step or two backwards in my recovery a week ago, and I'm getting back there again, but would appreciate your prayers. And pray for our country. It certainly needs it. Is there anything else, Mrs. Bradfield, that we need to be praying about? Do what you can for yourself. If you're able, do what you can for others. If you're not able, just stay in and look after yourself. And do pray for us as we, Mrs. Bradfield is still going out and about getting groceries. She's going out tomorrow, and she's got a bunch of chores and things to do. So please pray for her safety as she travels as well. I think that's about that. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we will sing another song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you again that we can come before you. Thank you for the precious promise that at any time we can boldly enter into your presence. And Lord, petition you for our wants and our desires, for the people that we love, and for those that we love that don't yet love you. We do pray, you Lord, that you would save lost souls, that you would use us at this time, that your presence would be felt in our lives at this time, and that this time of quarantine would not so much be us locked away from the world, but us locked in with you. Speak to each one of us. Work in each one of our lives. Open the scriptures to us, Lord. Bring to our remembrance services and remembered Bible verses and songs as we go throughout the day. And help us always, Lord, to keep our eyes upon you. You know, Lord, that there are many struggling with things in this world. I know it's probably a bit of a chore trying to find things to do of a day. But, Lord, you know. You know. You know each one of our situations and you know each one of our needs. Please be with each and every one of us. Please look out for Stan and his family and church up in Bangor. For the Asquiths and the Haynes in Black Creek in America. For Grace Bible, Lord, for Tom Isaacson, for his wife, for Alan Fox, for Jack Mormon, especially for his wife at this time. For Ed and Joan, Lord, as they minister in Temple Patrick. And Lord, for the many other men and women whose names we don't know, but I just think especially on Paul and Judy Forrest, on Francis and Nita Cosgrave. Lord, you know all of our needs. Please be with those souls that really, really need you. Lord, please speak to them in the still small voice. And Lord, our desire is that souls would be saved, that our brothers and sisters in Christ would be edified. So please bless us now as we take this time in your presence. Please grant our prayer requests and petitions, especially our private prayer requests and petitions. Look after Brother Steve and wee Henry. Lord, please save our lost loved ones and family. It's really upon my mind at this particular time, Lord. Help us to look after all that you've blessed us with. Please protect our assets, Lord, and help us use them properly. I really can't think of anything else, Lord. I feel a bit like a sponge wrung dry. But use this service to speak to all of us, Lord, I pray. We love you and thank you. Amen. All right. Right. It's time to get the hymn book again. And see what we are going to sing. All right. We're going to, we'll go to 356. 356. I must tell Jesus. 356.
That's not the right page.
Yes?
Yeah, sorry.
I can't believe my wife arguing with me. There's only two of us here and she has to argue with me. 356. I must tell Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, now is the time that we put our hymn books away and take our Bibles out. This service, this Wednesday morning, stroke afternoon, stroke evening, or Thursday, or whenever it is that you get to listening to it. This Wednesday, we're reading from John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We're going to begin reading at verse number 1, and we're reading through until verse number 18. This is the portion of God's scripture, one of them, that deals with the resurrection or the realization of the resurrection of Jesus Christ by his disciples, by his followers. Title for the message this morning is, Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And the word of God says, The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turneth herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Amen. Verse number 11 is going to be our text this morning, where the word of God says, But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. First little bit of that is going to be our text, and we're speaking on the subject for a little while of where is Jesus. Amen. All right. You may know, I am sure, we're in the time of year that we are going to be hearing a lot of preaching in the next week or two or three about the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, that this was actually a very difficult time for all of the followers of Jesus whether they were apostles or just disciples. Because let's be honest, over the last few years, if you were a follower or an apostle of Christ, you'd followed him all over the place. You'd listened to him at every hour of the day and the night that he spoke. You'd obeyed him, at least I'm sure a lot of them did. And many of them had learned from him. They had great times. They had seen the miracles. And indeed, some had been authorized and commanded by God himself to go and replicate the miracles. When he gave the 70 authority over this, that and the other, and he sent them out, and then they came back telling him that even the very demons were subject to him, they all rejoiced together. And goodness, you would be forgiven for thinking if you followed a man like that, that had the very power over life and death, you would be forgiven for thinking that this man was going to rule the world. However, the next thing we're reading is that he's been betrayed by one of his most trusted confidants, Judas, a man that was given every opportunity, that was given even the control over the finances of this little band of men. He was betrayed by Judas. He was illegally arrested. He was abandoned by his friends. He was found guilty by popular opinion, definitely not the law. He was tortured. He was nailed to the cross, shedding his blood this whole time. He even prayed for the people that put him there. And even as he was on the cross, people were still being saved. He led one of the thieves to eternity. And then he gave up his life. He was taken down from the cross. He was wrapped in linen, myrrh and aloes, put in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and a huge stone rolled over the entrance. Not only that, there was a detachment of guards put on it to make sure that the disciples didn't come and take the body away. And everybody, but specifically Mary, said goodbye to this man who changed her life so completely, this man that they thought was going to change the world. Now, 2,000 years later, we know today that he did indeed change the world in a way that, if he had ruled and reigned from Jerusalem, would not have been possible. This Mary that the Lord cast out 7 devils from, she was a bad girl. He allowed her to be in his company, and to most other people in the world, she was just the scarring of the bottom of your shoe. She made a point of attending to him. She put an awful lot of her life into Christ because he had taken an awful lot from her. He had taken her sins. He had freed her. As the word of God says, he had given her life, and that more abundantly. And this man upon whom she had pinned all of her hopes was now gone. And what a blow it was to all of them. Even to Peter, the Lord's most vocal follower. I will follow you, he said, to the end of the world, to the end of my life. Remember those words? And the Lord said, Peter, before the cock even crows, you've denied me 3 times this day. As we read this portion of God's word, we actually see these 2 disciples. The disciple whom Jesus loved, John, and Peter, have run to the sepulchre, and they find it empty. This is after Mary has already been to the sepulchre and found the stone taken away. And they look in, and there's nobody there, and then they go home again. But Mary, she stands there weeping and grieving because her Saviour is gone. They have carried out the final insult, and they have just disposed of his remains so that he couldn't receive a proper burial. But even as she stood weeping, first of all, the angels appear in the tomb.
And then the Lord appears and asks her why she's weeping. And all that she wants to do is perform, to give the Lord's body its final respects before saying goodbye to it forever. But sure enough, we find that Mary finds the Saviour. He reveals himself to her and he says, Mary. And I can almost see her, as the Bible says sometimes, the scales falling off of her eyes. And I can almost see her with her arms out, like she threw her hands around his feet as she broke the alabaster box of spikenard over his head, wanting to weep at his feet and to dry his feet again with her tears. And he says, look, Mary, don't touch me, because I haven't yet gone up into heaven. Where was the Lord all this time? The Word of God says he descended into paradise and he took captivity those souls that had once been disobedient. All those souls that had trusted in God up until the time of the Lord's resurrection had gone into paradise. Hence Luke 16, where the rich man from hell was able to see Abraham and Lazarus, even though there was a great, great gap between hell and paradise. But anyway, he spent 3 days in the heart of the earth, and he was about to go to heaven to make sure that his sacrifice, to provide this sacrifice that we never saw, but that everyone that trusts in Christ will have felt more keenly than anything else in this world. So keenly, in fact, that it leaves a person a different creature. But sure enough, there he was. She'd found him again. Just like he said, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again. She thought she'd lost her Saviour, but he was right there. I don't know if you remember the time that you first met with Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that everybody who has more than a few neurons firing in their head gets to meet with Jesus Christ. Whether it's because some idiot stands on a street corner handing out tracts, or stands with a megaphone preaching the gospel so you get a few verses of the scriptures, or whether it was as a little child when you were forced to go to Sunday school and under great duress you sang those old songs and heard a few Bible readings, or whether you actually sat in a church that opened the King James Bible and preached the full counsel of it, or even if you were out in the middle of nowhere never having heard of Jesus but just looked around you and thought, you know what, there must be a God that put all these things together. Everybody meets with Jesus Christ, just like they did at the foot of the cross as the Lord was suffering for our sins. Everybody met with Christ. Some met him as a mocker, as a scoffer. Physician, heal thyself, they cried. And some met him as grieving friends, lovers of the Lord and his gospel. Where might it have been that we met with Christ? It might have been in a church, the street corner, a tract in a hallway that was put through the letterbox. Maybe the lips of a friend or a complete stranger. Sunday school teacher, preacher, tent meeting. Maybe just a table with a teapot in the middle. Regardless of the GPS coordinates, regardless of the map location, everybody meets Jesus at the foot of the cross. And I am sure since that day, whether you accepted him or whether you accepted him or rejected him, that many things have happened in your life. If it's today, don't delay. Make sure you have Christ as your friend. But if you met Jesus a long time ago, life has tried to fill in the space with lots of things and has probably led you a merry dance. A career, relationships, hobbies, sports, fitness, money, fashions, hobbies. We did hobbies. For many, there comes a time in life, and it's often far too late, that they realize that in the grand scheme of things, whilst they're handy for putting in an hour or two in this world, they are not good enough to take you to heaven. They mean absolutely nothing. Or maybe, like right now, when we're in the middle of this quarantine in the UK, you can't, they're still no good to you. There's still something missing. So what is there that makes life worth something? What makes life better than looking out of the window and wishing you could be running up and down the streets, which many probably never did because they were stuck in a video game, or on the internet, or with their face stuck in that little 6-inch square or rectangle of plastic? What makes life all of a sudden a bit like you being an inmate in a jail, if you ever saw those old stories, rattling your tin cup up and down the bars? With all of this time, I pray that you give a little bit of it to Jesus. That you cast your mind back to the times whenever you sat in that Sunday school or you sat in the church. And you sang those songs, whether through gritted teeth or smiling mouth. And you listened to those Bible readings, maybe even committed a few of them to your heart. And you saw the example of your Sunday school teacher or your preacher and a prayer. It was a good one. You either mocked or accepted Christ into your heart. I even remember as a Christian myself, and I know it is a similar story with many, going my own way. And the weeds and thorns of life choked out many's an opportunity. I can point to one that I will never forget, but sadly, the man involved who went to an eternity without me giving an option to giving him an option to trust Christ, I pray somebody else did, but it means now that I won't let an opportunity go without pointing someone to Christ. Until one day, somebody, I do believe it was the Holy Spirit, said, "Where is Jesus?" When I looked around and found that my life was indeed empty, even as a Christian, I asked the question, "Where is Jesus?" And I know it might seem a little bit cliched, and I'm sure there's many as a wife or a mother, whenever they're quizzed by husband or children, "Where's my socks? Where's my keys? Where's my homework? And where's my glasses?" The pained, often repeated answer of said mother or wife probably amounts to, "They're right where you left them." Just remember that whenever you were laughing at Jesus, he was praying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Whenever you were grieved over the conviction of your sins, Jesus was saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Whenever you chose to come back to him, he was waiting as a doting father to lovingly forgive and accept that prodigal son upon the return. Jesus is exactly where you left him. He's in the Bible, whose covers you stopped opening and whose pages you stopped reading. He's in those verses that you stopped committing to your heart. He's in those words of eternal life that you stopped speaking, / preaching to folks. He's in the church that you stopped attending. He's in those hymns and songs that you stopped lifting up and praising him with. He's in the doors that you stopped knocking on his behalf. You know, like the Lord said in Revelation, "I stand at the door and knock." He's in the letter boxes you stopped putting tracts into. And he's in the brethren that you stopped fellowshipping with. He's in the prayers that you stopped lifting up. And he's in the tithes and offerings that you stopped giving. In Revelation chapter 2, a little part of Revelation where the Lord is talking to John about the seven churches in Asia Minor. There's one that always sticks with me. And it's about the church, I think it's the church at Ephesus. Well, the Lord says, You left your first love. I have something with you. I have a bone to pick with you. You left your first love. And if you want to get back and fill that deep void that is now or should be now more plainly visible in your life, get back there. Get back to the Bible. Get back to your hands and knees in prayer. Get back to the church whenever you can after the quarantine's lifted. And you will find that he has always been there. He's waiting. He's not standing with his hands on his hips and a wooden spoon in his hand waiting to give you a few licks as you pass. Do you ever do that as a child? You've done something bad and you tried to run past your mother or father and they still managed to get you and you always wondered why. It's practice. Their skill increased with your speed and they were always able to get a lick or two on you. Do you know what? The Lord has always been there waiting. And whenever you do, whenever a soul accepts Christ as their Savior, or indeed a prodigal Christian comes back to the Lord, there is what they call in Ireland a shindig. I used to wonder about that, and I thought, what does it say? It's a shindig. People used to get their shins hit a few times as people were dancing back and forwards and this, that, and the other. There's a shindig. God and all his holy angels, and I am sure all the souls in heaven that trusted him as Savior, they rejoice. They have a party whenever you come back. And for you, you become a new creature in Christ. Even the saved soul that has been slack in their life, you can still renew your life in Christ. Even now, old things will pass away. I'm reminded of one of the blind men that came to Christ so many years ago. And the Lord touched his eyes, I do believe it was. He says, well, what do you see? You see, he said, I just see shapes. I see men as trees walking. A lot of times that's as far as many saved souls get. The man didn't stop there, but Christ, he allowed Christ to touch his eyes again. And Jesus says, what do you see now? He said, I see man as man. I see clearly. That's what the Lord wants to give you. He wants to help you to see clearly. To understand that this life is temporary. That there is a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. He'll give you new loves and hates. As a preacher once said, you'll love the things you used to hate. Like God and the Bible and singing songs and telling people about Jesus. And you'll hate the things you used to love. The drinking and the smoking and the cursing and the swearing and the lying and the cheating and the adultery and the blasphemy. Those things should seem like a stripe upon your soul. You have a new life, a new future in this life, and a new eternity, all with Jesus Christ. You'll have God, not just as God, but as your Savior, as your friend, and as your Lord. The assurance of the certainty of heaven for you once your life is over here on earth. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother, he will be a friend again and not just a convicting spirit. A new and heavenly perspective on everything. Angels to minister to you. And you will always have God's listening ear and watchful eye because he loves you so much. And the very wisdom of God himself recorded in the Word of God, King James Bible. And the Lord himself said, I guarantee you there'll always be a Bible somewhere. And all this is to be found not at the end of a quarantine or in a church or in any other building, but right now in prayer in the presence of God by a repentant soul that's prepared to say, Lord, you were right. I was wrong. Please save me. Please save my life. So in the words of the scriptures, don't delay. Today is the day. Now is the accepted time. Seek the Lord early whilst he may be found. He loves you so much. And in a way, this quarantine, this time that we have forced upon us, could be the greatest gift that God ever gave to any man, woman, or child. Where is Jesus? He's right where you left him. Amen. We're going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. And we're going to sing one more of our hymns. And then we are going to bid you good day until our Sunday service. Let me just get the hymn book out here. Now, oh, that's not the right. There we go. All right. 253, I reckon, will sing You Must Be Born Again. 253. 253, You Must Be Born Again. The 1st of April 2020. This is not an April's Fool, even though technically it could still be. It's before midday and you still could have an April's Fool, but this is not an April's Fool. This is the most serious decision that any soul will ever make, because it will affect their entire eternity. We pray you have a good Lord's Day, because for us, this is the Lord's Day. They're all the Lord's days. And please do remember those that's not well, Brother Steve. And don't forget wee Henry, Rita, Esther, Don't forget Norman, Carol and John, Ling and Frank, Dr. Shang as well, Will and John. Don't forget these souls. Don't forget each other. And please do take your prayer list out and don't be afraid to read from it as you pray. God doesn't mind if you pray with your eyes open. He knows we're limited. So please do be much in prayer. About yourself, don't forget to pray for yourself, our daily bread, and all the things that are going on in the world, and especially our own country. Please do continue to pray for the abortion laws and for the gay marriage laws. On a more personal note, pray for the Charities Commission and the sale of the church. Things seem to have quietened down there, not unexpectedly, but as the Lord leads and provides. We love you. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you in the near future. In the meantime, just keep your eyes on the Lord and let not your heart be troubled. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. Please, Lord, answer these, our prayer requests that we've brought before you, and our private prayer requests. Please, Lord, help us to be mindful of our assets and to remember that this just isn't a bit of a carry-on, which is optional, but that people's very lives hang in the balance of what we do. And whether we tip it in the favour of a longer life or whether we tip it in the favour of a shorter life, that's entirely up to us. Protect us and keep us from this virus. And Lord, oh Lord, please save souls. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Talk again soon.